Hopefully everyone had a good weekend so far. My weekend was really interesting. Saw a really great movie yesterday morning. it's Endgame, yeah. If you haven't seen it, and if you have 3 hours to spare, definitely check it out. It's really entertaining. I enjoyed it a lot. I had to change my car battery. That was fun. But yeah, here I am. I was thinking about a lot what to preach on. And first, I just want to say thank you to all the friends and people who have encouraged me and really noticed that there was a lot of things that was going on in my life that kind of affected the way I was kind of just doing ministry, I guess. And so I really appreciate those who really cared and prayed for me. And all this is to say because it's almost been a year now since I've been on full-time ministry here at CVCCS, and I'm so glad and honored and appreciative of the opportunity this church and God has provided me in being on staff. And I've learned a lot, and I knew that ever since I came on board, I knew that I had to have a mindset and attitude of not just expecting things to go the way I want it, but knowing that if anything, there is going to be a higher expectation, and also there's going to be a lot more, let's just say, trials and a lot more dependency needed on who God was. And so it's been a very interesting year. I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning a lot, and I'm still being humbled and taught in so many ways. And so ultimately, thank you all for just surviving with me, I guess, for this past year, and I hope that we have many awesome years together here at CVCCS. And so, for this sermon, it's more of like an anniversary sermon, I guess. I feel that it's important to remind ourselves some deep theological truths about our relationship with God, and it's important to, in a sense, preach to ourselves the message of the gospel that many of us have received and believed in. And it's especially true for me. And I hope it's, and I hope and pray that it will be encouragement and important for you as well. So let's come before our God in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father God, I thank you that you've gathered us all here in your presence, in your church, Lord, that we can gather and despite the circumstances, that we can rejoice in who you are, Lord. A God who cares and loves and does so much for us, Father God, that a God who gave up his only son as well at the cross just so that he could pay for the penalty of our sins and that we can be made into a rightful relationship with you again. And Lord, we come together knowing that even though there's so many things to rejoice in you, Lord, it can be difficult, that the reason to rejoice in you can be hard, facing the circumstances of this life and of this world. And so, Father, humble us, help us to know and to remember and to remind ourselves that we can find all our joy, all our peace, all our hope and trust and faith in you alone. And we pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, I picked this passage in Philippians because Philippians, I just really, really enjoy this New Testament letter from Paul. I think this was one of the first letters that I really took a lot of time to read over and over again and study, and with a lot of the youth in the past, just kind of go over the passage with them. And so a few weeks ago, I was asked to lead prayer meeting, and this specific passage was on my heart. And so I've been thinking a lot about this, and the reason why, it's not because of this particular word, rejoicing, but there is a word in this passage that stuck out to me, and I thought to myself, wow, that's totally me right now in this season. And then I'll mention it later, but it's probably not something you might expect. So let's take a look at this passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And so Paul starts off at near the end of this letter, and he's been telling the gospel. There's so many well-known passages you may have remembered, or you may have recognized how Christ humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross. How Paul shares about his life experience as the best of the best, the Pharisees of the Pharisees, and that he counts them all as trash and leaves it all behind, and he presses on to move forward, forgetting what lies behind, but I press on to move towards the glory of Christ. And then there is that well-known passage, even in chapter 4 later on, that I can do all things in Christ who lives in me. You know, that passage that, like, I shared this before. I've seen people tattoo on the arm, and I think, oh, is that what you think that verse means, that you can get tattoos? But no, I'm just kidding. And so we come to chapter 4, and Paul briefly kind of addresses the issue about how there's some church conflict. There's a few women who just are in some issues with each other, and he's commanding the church to tell them, hey, make sure they reconcile. Remember to share the goodness of Christ, the purpose of our community in Christ together. And then he starts in verse 4, and the reason why is because we should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, in case you missed it the very first time, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And so rejoice is the very first thing that we should remind ourselves in our relationship with God. Not just temporarily, not just whenever it's convenient, not just whenever we feel like it or when things are going very well. It's easy to confuse something like joy and happiness. When we think of joy, sometimes we think, oh, I need to have these positive feelings. I need to feel elated. Things are going well, and that's why I experience so much joy, and that's why I can sing It Is Well with My Soul, because it is well with everything else, right? So things are good, and I can find joy in that, but clearly that can't be the case. I mean, if you are in that kind of mentality 24/7 where you're just happy all the time, you have no worries, please talk to me. I would love to know your secret of life, because that would be, you know, so that would be so helpful for me most of the time, 24/7, right? So, but joy is more than just this happy feeling. It can't just be happiness. If joy was just happiness, then why do so many Christians experience so much difficulty in their life, right? You can't logically assume that these Christians who go through hardships. And Jesus himself said that, hey, pick up your cross daily, and picking up your cross is not a very happy, fun thing to do. It can't just be happiness. And so, but Paul tells the church, and Paul tells us, hey, to rejoice always. Again, I will say it again, rejoice always. And the reason we can rejoice is because we put our trust in a sovereign and living God. We don't find joy in what's happening to me personally and the things that are going well, but we put our joy in something outside of us. We put our joy because of who God is. And that's why Paul says, hey, as a Christian community, as a church, as a body of Christ, the way we can rejoice always is to remember it's not about us. It's not about what's going on here. It's not going on what's happening in your own life, but it's about worshiping and finding joy in who God is and what he has done. And he tells them, when you have that rejoice, you should let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And so not only do we know that we should rejoice in who God is, but there's a reason for that. Not just because, oh yeah, I don't really have a reason to be joyful. I mean, things are going well. It's deeper than that. There's a clear reason. And when we realize who we need to find our joy in and why we can find our joy in him, we should let it be known to everyone around us, right? So the first thing he says verse 5, is the first thing, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And the way you should look at this verse isn't so much like compact by itself. It's actually an explanation of why we should have this reason. Reasonableness be known to everyone. Well, the big question is, why? Why should we let our reasonableness to have joy be known to everyone? Why should we let everybody know the reason why we can have this rejoicing attitude in our life? Why? And the reason why is because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And you know, the scripture, when it talks about how the Lord is at hand, it's not so much that, oh, God will just take care of things for you. Like, God is just there, and he'll handle all your problems, right? That's not really what Paul is trying to get at. The Lord is at hand is about recognizing that God is present in our lives. God is present everywhere. God is watching over us. He provided for us. He cared for us. He is here among us. He lives and resides with us in the Spirit. He sent us his Son, Jesus. And so the Lord is at hand. He is in control. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He has all things under his authority. The Lord is at hand. And that's why we can let our reasonableness be known to everyone, because the Lord is here. He's at hand. He's not just someone who we throw up our problems to and he'll magically take care of it for us. It's because we know God is present all the time. The reason why we can rejoice in the Lord always is because the Lord is always at hand. And I have to remind myself of that, right? Because a lot of times I'm just thinking, man, where is God? Where is God when I need him in this help? Or where is God when things are really difficult and I'm struggling a lot? And where is God when I'm just suffering, or you're suffering, or we're suffering, and is God just watching us, being like, okay, that's cool for them to do that. And that's why it can be difficult to find this attitude of joy, because we forget that, hey, the Lord is always at hand, right? There's a mentality or this attitude of, where is God? I don't see him. I don't know where he is. I can't trust in him to care for me because I need this help right now. I need to find contentment and joy at this moment. And where are you, God? You're supposed to give it to me. And we come up with these crazy reasons of why we can't find joy, why we can't rejoice in him. How can we let our reasonableness be made known to everyone if we don't even know for ourselves why we can rejoice in him? And so remind yourself that the Lord is at hand. There's a psalm, Psalm 27, where I really find it convicting about what our attitude should be like when we're praising God for who he is. And in Psalm 27, if you would love to turn there, in Psalm 27, verse 1, the psalmist David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then verse 6, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord." One of the struggles of youth ministry, I guess, or any ministry, is creating and cultivating an attitude among your community to worship God. And I know everybody has their own personal way of worship. I get that, right? Some people are very meditative and they're very solemn, and that's a great way to honor God. Some people are very expressive and emotional and outgoing and energetic, and that's also a very good way to worship God as well. But for me, like, I'm kind of convinced that, particularly for youth group, so for all the youth group that is listening, you should wake up by now and pay attention, because I'm looking out for this. There's a segment in our fellowship time that I really feel is so important. More than just sitting in small groups and studying God's word, more than just sharing about what's going on, what can I pray for you, school again, okay, sure. There's something that I really feel is so important, but I have the most difficulty in trying to push for that because I lack that skill set to organize it or to lead it. I think some of you guys might know it already, but it's worship. It's music worship. I have such a huge struggle to getting the youth to appreciate and to value and to respond to singing praises to God. And it's difficult. Like, you know, when we invite KCFC to come and sing with us, you know, they look at the lyrics, and if they know it, they'll sing out loud and brightly, and, you know, just they'll just sing so passionately. I don't know if it's because they're conditioned to, or like Miss Kathy promised them a treat afterwards, but I don't know, maybe I should do that, just bribe everyone with candy if you sing. That's horrible. I'm not doing that. But, you know, like on one side, you have KCFC, and they're just singing so loud, and they're like this high, where their voices reach into the ceiling. And then on this side, you look at the youth, and they're all like standing there and trying to be cool, I guess. And some of them are more like, it's like, oh, that's how you worship God. Okay, cool. And some of them sing like, it is well. Pull out my phone so Eric doesn't catch me playing on it. You know, like, and I try not to get too distracted by that. That's why I sit in the back and sing, and so I can't really see their faces if they're singing. But there are times when I have to help on stage, and I can't help but notice when I look up, and the praise team is singing and leading, and the KCFC kids are singing and moving, and then the youth are just standing there like, come on, where is your joy in singing about God? Where is your reason to come and worship who he is? And do you have a reason? Do you have this joy? Do you have a purpose of being able to sing and make melody to our God? Sing, people! I can't do that on stage, right? Because we're singing. So, like, you know, I can't really randomly just start yelling, hey, sing out loud. Like, move your lips, move your minds, move your bodies, move your hips, right? Like, just sing, do something to worship God. And the reason why I feel frustrated is because I know for a fact that in a few months, we're going to go to this random place in North Carolina, and these same kids will rush to the stage and raise their hands and jump for joy and sing and make melody to the Lord. And I suspect it's probably because of the drums or the decibels in their faces, but who knows? Why is the attitude different in one area, but in our regular worship setting, we can't sing and make melody to the Lord? And I say the youth, but I'm talking about all of us. When we go to conferences, when we go to retreats, our attitude somehow changes when we find this revival to rejoice in God. We have a reason to sing and praise him now. But then when we come back here to our regular times of worship, what happened, people? Where is your reason? And it's because we don't regularly take time to remember that our joy in God isn't just temporary, isn't based on those circumstances, but it should be again and again, always. The reason we can rejoice in God isn't because of what's happening there, but what's happening all the time. And we know God is always there. Think about this. In our life, do we only say, out of 1 week in the whole year, I can confidently say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, who shall I fear? No, that can't make sense. Because you have things to fear every day. And will you look for the light of God in those moments? When you are surrounded by the enemies of this world and the difficult circumstances, you can't just retreat and say, now I can finally rejoice in him. You gotta rejoice in God in the middle of that battle and that warfare and shout to God, hey, I will rejoice in it despite all these enemies around me. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And that's why in Philippians 4:5, it says, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. You know, like, I'll confess, my heart and my mind is, what's a nice way of saying negative? Like, I guess that's fine. It can be very negative and critical. I think of my circumstances, and I think of the things I'm doing wrong, and it affects me, and I just kind of lay there in bed, just thinking, oh my gosh, my life is a mess, I can't do anything right, like, I don't deserve any of this, I don't deserve to be fulfilling this calling. My mind and my heart wants to find every single reason to despair, to worry, to be anxious, to not find any reason to rejoice in God. And you may be hearing these verses. You may be hearing God trying to pull at your heart, saying, God, and God wants you to rejoice in Him, but there's a question, right? There's that question. What if I can't? But what if I can't? I just can't do it, God. I'm too worried about things that are happening right now. I'm too distracted, distressed. I'm too depressed and despaired. I'm too unfocused. I'm too troubled. I'm going through trials and temptations. I'm at a loss at what to do, God. I can't find a reason to rejoice in You. And I was so deeply affected. Like this past fundraiser, I tried really hard to find joy in the circumstances, and I'm thinking to myself, man, this literally was on my mind for about an hour in the middle of the night. Man, I'm so short of this goal, of this fundraising goal, and having like trying to figure out how to get funding. And you know what I thought of right after that? Shooting in North Carolina, the bombing on Easter in Sri Lanka. And I'm like, wow, I'm worried about trying to get money to send a bunch of hooligans to camp. And there are people being killed for their beliefs. There are victims of violence. God, I can't do this. I can't find joy in my own problems and seeing the problems of the world. I just can't do it. I can't find a reason to rejoice in You. I'm worried about myself, I'm worried about others, I'm worried about the world, I'm worried about things that are in my control, outside my control. I am anxious about all of these things. So the past few weeks, that's been on my mind. Man, Eric, you are too anxious about everything. You are anxious about all these things. And God pulled me. He directed me to this passage, right? To this verse. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. So what should we do then? But in prayer, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we're struggling with finding a reason to rejoice in God, I want to challenge all of us. How often have we made that our prayer request before Him? I know for me it's not easy. I'd rather just wallow and sit in my despair and self-pity and depression, right? Like, it's so much easier. Just lay in bed and sink into a dark pit of anxiety and troubles and a black space of nothingness, hopelessness. And that's when God says, hey, talk to me. Reach out to me. Pray to me. Let me know what you want to hear. Let me know what you want me to hear. Make your requests be made known to God. I think a lot of times we're so focused on these prayer requests that are really just temporary. I mean, school, sure, I mean, school is important. Yeah, just pray for me for school. Oh, what about school? School. Okay, thanks. Is it your grades? Is it your classmates? Is it the homework? Is it the expectations from your parents? Just pray to me for about work. Oh, what about work? Work. Is your boss, your coworkers, the job insecurity, the pay, the hours? Oh, just pray for me for my family. Okay, what about your family? well, I have teenagers. What do you think? It's like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know? Yeah, is it your kids are rebellious? They are disobedient. Maybe your husband is not showing love. Maybe your wife isn't supporting you. Just pray for me. I'm struggling. It's like, okay. Struggle. And how do we give thanks to God when all these things are happening, right? I think we have to start with this attitude that we need to reach out and make our requests before God. If we are serious and we desire to rejoice in God and find a reason, it starts with requesting God. Ask God to help you find this reason, to make you realize why we can rejoice in a God who is in control, who is at hand, who is protective and cares and loves us. Remind yourselves in your prayers before God of why we can come before Him. Thank Him for all who He is. Thank Him for Jesus and the cross. Thank Him for the Spirit who resides in us, and we can bear much fruit for His glory. When you're in turmoil and distress, and when you're struggling and you are insecure and you are at war with yourself, make your request before God. And in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Church, there is a real spiritual warfare that is happening, and we are all in that battle whether we like it or not. And will you stand guard to protect yourselves, or will you succumb to the enemy? Will you find peace with God, or will you continue to just always never find that joy or contentment in who He is because you're at war with yourself? Yeah, it's a little bit tricky to understand. Yeah, maybe we don't completely get it. But that's why it surpasses all of our understanding. That's why we need to make our request before God so it will be clear to us, yeah, even if I find myself in these situations, I can still experience that joy and peace. I can remember the salvation God offers me through Christ. So if you need a reason to rejoice in the Lord, then make that your prayer request, right? Don't say school or family or work or life. Say things like, yeah, I need to find a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Go deep. Go specific. Go personal. Especially if we are pushing everyone to look towards a theme of discipleship, then there's going to be some hard, real questions we're going to ask each other. It won't just be about, do you understand what you're reading in the Bible? It will be about, do you understand how you can find a reason to rejoice in God and who He is in your own personal life? And you need to look within yourself. And if you haven't taken the time to pray to God for that reason, you should. And trust me, it will take time. It doesn't happen like that. It's not like you pray, amen, and now you can find joy. That's not how it works at all. I think in 1 Peter, it kind of describes this process, right? 1 Peter chapter 5. He reminds us to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, in casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. A reminder again from a completely different author that we cast our anxieties on God. Man, that should be an awesome reason for us to rejoice. That all my worries and fears and troubles, I can literally take that and say, Jesus, I give this up to You. I let it go and put it on You instead. I cast my anxieties on Christ. Because that's what He took for us at the cross. Because that's how much He cared for us. Our sins and struggles, Jesus crucified at the cross for our behalf. And we would dare to hold on to it because we're too proud of ourselves. And God says, no, give that up to me. I will take care of it for you. So humble yourself then. Give up those anxieties and give it to Jesus, who's already taking care of it for us. And that at the proper time, he will exalt us from this anguish. In verse 10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. You notice that? After you've suffered a little while, it's not going to happen instantly. That's the healing process. That's the path you will have to take when you are making your request be made known to God, when you are discovering the reason to rejoice in him. You're going to suffer. You probably are suffering. But that's why we are so thankful and we can have that reason, because the God who shows us this grace and mercy has called us to an eternal glory with him and his son Jesus. And in verse 10, he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I think it says a lot when we can give these things up, when we are broken and God says, you know what, I'm going to fix you up again. I'm going to restore you. Surprisingly, I usually dread going to Fuge, especially the past few years. The theme has been strange. Let's just say that. I don't really understand the theme from Fuge the past few years, but this year's theme is kind of refreshing. The theme is very simple. It's restored. And I look and see that word a lot, and it's so important for us that we are a broken generation and we need to be restored back to God, to return and remember our reason to rejoice in him. Restored. And that's who God is, a God who restores us. That's the reason we can rejoice, a God who confirms us. That's why we can praise him, because he strengthens us. That's why we can build our foundation in the gospel, because it established us in how we can live out our lives for his glory. So if you're going through a lot, I don't know your own struggles. Maybe you have more anxieties than I do. I hope that you would be encouraged to take time and pray out to God and let your request be made known to him, that God will restore you back to him, that if you find yourself singing and that you don't know if you can really bring out those words to worship him, God will restore you back to him, that when you're in those prayer meetings or Bible studies and you're looking at the scripture and they're just letters and words and punctuation floating around in a jumbled mess, I pray that God will help you restore you back to him. That when you see in your life and you're missing this, or things are not working out in this, your family is doing this, your friends are hating you on this, that you can't figure out what to do with your life, I pray that God will restore you back to him. And that when you come to church and you feel you can't connect with the community, when you come to church and worship and you can't relate to anyone and you feel alone, I pray that God will restore you back to him. So let your reason be made known to God, so you have that reason to rejoice in him. 1 Peter 5:11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we recognize and realize the difficulties of this world, God, we know that things are not easy. That God, even though you're good, there's so much sin and evil and trouble, trials and temptations that happen to us. God, we recognize that, God, it's hard to find a reason to rejoice sometimes. Father, I pray that you would first humble us. That perhaps our pride is preventing us from making a request being made known to you. That our insecurities are stopping us from crying out to you, Lord. That our fear is pulling us away. I pray that, God, we would boldly go and ask you to help us remember, refresh our memory, Lord. Rekindle that passion and desire to rejoice in who you are, Lord. A God who cares and loves us deeply. A God who loves us so much that he sent his only son, Christ, to come into this world to show us an example, to be the perfect sacrifice, to do something none of us can do, Lord, and to take it upon himself at the cross so that we put our faith in him, not in other people who tried so many things, but in a man who lived perfectly and obediently to your will and died at the cross for our sake. God, we put our faith in the power of the resurrection, Lord, that not even death and sin can stop Christ. That our hope is not in a dead man, but it is in a live, breathing God who reigns victoriously. And God, we pray that we would continue to hold fast to the truth. We pray that we would treasure the realization that we can be in that rightful relationship with you, Lord. So, Father, guide us and help us, carry us to realize and remember the reason we can have to rejoice. And it's because of who you are. Not because of me or what we've done. Because of you and everything you have done through your Son, Christ. So all this we pray in his name.